Shock and horror were some of the emotions felt by millions when the nation and the world learned about the unspeakable slaughter of 20 innocent children and 6 teachers at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. The facts as we know them are that on Friday, December 14th, 20-year-old Newtown resident Adam Lanza killed his mother with a gun she owned and then drove to the school, where he used a military-style Bushmaster AR-15 semi-automatic rifle to murder the 6- and 7-year-olds and teachers in their classroom before killing himself. The epidemic of gun violence is not a new phenomenon in the U.S. From America's inner cities to wealthy suburbs, the involvement of firearms in crime, murder, and suicide are an everyday occurrence across all 50 states. The U.S. has long had the highest rate of gun ownership in the world, with 89 guns for every 100 Americans. In 2011, the latest year for which data is available, there were 12,664 murders in the U.S. Of those, 8,583 were caused by firearms. While the murder rate in the U.S. fluctuates from year to year, there have been 62 mass shooting incidents in the last 30 years. In fact, 4 multiple murders involving guns have occurred just this year. While politicians have in recent years feared acting on or even debating stricter gun control laws due to the perceived political power of the National Rifle Association, many observers now believe the carnage in Newtown may be a tipping point. Your reporter spoke with Joshua Horowitz, executive director of the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence. Here he talks about the momentum that's building in the wake of Newtown to reform the nation's gun control laws.
Unfortunately, there's a long, sad history of these events. I mean, when I first got involved, a fellow named Patrick Purdy with an AK-47, shot up a schoolyard and didn't kill as many people, but killed enough and wounded a lot of people in 1989, and that was one of the precursors to the assault weapons ban. And you know, there's always been, you know, there's been from time to time these terrible shootings, but they seem to have accelerated after the expiration of the assault weapons ban at the end of 2004. I still remember, you know, sitting around and watching the first news report of Virginia Tech in utter disbelief. But of course, we've had, you know, a number of events similar to that just this year. And so, starting really with Virginia Tech, I think you saw sort of the convergence of two things. We've seen people who should not have access to firearms carrying ever more and more dangerous firearms and high-capacity magazines. And, you know, since Virginia Tech, we've had a number of other shootings. And then, of course, we had Tucson last year, and then this year, you know, with Aurora and Oak Creek. Just last week, we had the shooting in the mall in Portland, and then, of course, Friday, this you know, terrible exclamation point on a really difficult year.
President Obama's speech in Newtown at the high school there to the families and the residents of that stricken town called for an as-yet unspecified action to rein in gun violence in our nation. If you were to advise President Obama on what he could do after so many years of inaction since the 2004 weapons ban expired, what would you advise him to do?
Well, interesting that you ask. I had actually a piece on this in the American Prospect on their webpage, and I called for a number of actions. One, I said we need to make sure that we have background checks on all gun sales. Right now, that is not the case across the board. In many states, it's very easy and common to buy guns without a background check. Where I live in Virginia, you know, we have gun shows every weekend where people are selling without background checks, and of course through the classified ads and over the internet. And that's because private sellers are excluded under federal law from the background checks system, which doesn't make a lot of sense. The other thing that I would say is that we need to ban assault weapons and high capacity magazines. There is just no reason for the implements of war to be on our streets, and we obviously in Newtown saw the disastrous results of what type of carnage these weapons can do and how quickly and how powerful they are. And so I think we need to not only reinstate the assault weapons ban, but we need to make it stronger. Connecticut has an assault weapons ban right now. Unfortunately, it's not particularly strong, and we don't know all the details yet, but I assume that this weapon was what they call state compliant, meaning they took advantage of Connecticut's weak assault weapons ban to sneak this weapon in. And so we need to have an assault weapons ban similar to California that is strong. And then the last thing I would suggest that we do is take a good hard look at the way we deal with people with dangerous mental illness. I think the system that we have right now is, I guess we call it both under and over inclusive, where you bring a lot of people into the system, some of them who may be dangerous, and leave people outside the system who are very dangerous. And because the reason is what we should be looking at in this country is people who are a danger to itself and others, and that's really not the standard we have. And there's some very nice – Connecticut actually has some of these laws, but they're complicated. California actually has a much easier model where a treating psychiatrist or mental health professional can easily and temporarily remove arms from a dangerous – from somebody who they believe to be dangerous and let that person be evaluated. And that's really the types of things that you want to have happen. You want to create extra tools for the psychiatric community. So those are the three things where I would start. I can tell you about lots of other things I would do as well. But that's, I think, if someone said, what are the top three, that's what they are, background checks, assault weapons ban, and to thinking really hard and redoing the way we deal with the intersection of mental health and firearms.
Well, thank you, Joshua. Just a last quick word here. Are you optimistic that change will happen this time?
Yeah, yes, I am. I've been very, because of the events of this year, I've been optimistic even before Friday about the ability to change laws and this terrible, and we're determined that this terrible tragedy will not be forgotten. And so, as sad as we are, and I have survivors on my staff, somebody who works for me whose daughter was shot and thankfully survived the Virginia Tech shooting, we also know that we need to use the big spotlight that comes when these events happen to organize, to collect our side and to go on to victory. And that's going to be a long, hard road, but I think the path is now clear.
That was Joshua Horwitz, Executive Director of the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence. Learn more about the group's campaign to pass new, stricter gun control laws by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.